Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to this simple. Cause that light to shine in our hearts this morning as we examine the word of God. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, the last few days we've been talking about strongholds and other imaginations that the devil may make against us from time to time, and God's assurances and protection for us, and the role that we ourselves must play. Today, I want to talk about another stronghold. The other day, we dealt with the stronghold of so-called generational curses. And we showed from this scripture that a shadow of doubt that God has delivered us from those. And our posture should be to rejoice in the blessings of God, even generational blessings. If we align ourselves with the generation of Jesus Christ, which the scripture says, or ask who has declared his generation. Well, we did declare his generation. We are his generation, and we inherit his lineage. The lines are falling onto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage because we come from the lineage of the Lord. And so we established that the other day. Today, I want to talk about the stronghold of fear and anxiety. These are strongholds. And when they get in there and create all kinds of havoc, the devil uses fear as one of his number one tools. And the tokens of liars, the Lord said, we read yesterday where he said, I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of liars. Well, let's talk about some of these tokens. What are the things that the devil uses to try to perpetrate the lie? Anything that is not of the truth is of the lie. So, the truth is that what God has established and what he has done for us, the lie is to make it look like that's not the case. So we see that fear of one, the unknown, and fear of, or being uncertain about as to what will happen or the outcome, the devil can use those things to create instability in our minds. You have a shaky mind, then it's room for the devil to play. It's a devil's playground, if you want to put it that way. Now, God has not given us, we're told, the spirit of bondage again to fear. So it creates bondage. I'm going to read some scriptures, that try to dispel this fear. We're going to also, see the consequences of fear. And how do we deal with it? And anxiety, undue anxiety. How do we pull these things down from our lives? And then let's look at what the word of God says to give us assurances. Starting from the beginning, way back when, God always, tried to encourage people not to be afraid, So even in as far back as when God was speaking to Abraham, you see this concept of God encouraging him not to be afraid. was introduced way back then, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not. And so we see that God already right there speaking directly to Abraham not to entertain fear. Fear of the unknown, or fear of what shall happen, and so forth. I am thy shield, the Lord said, an exceeding great reward. So these are the things that God gives us to combat fear. Recognizing that God is your shield. And recognizing that he will be your exceeding great reward. If you have God, well, what else can you need after that? You know, and if the Lord is your shield, just like the psalmist, he knew how to encourage himself with those things. He'll say things like, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my buckler. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. It's my hiding place. It's my rock. It's my defense. You know, he says all those things to encourage himself. And also, he has seen the good hand of the Lord working for him in those areas. So fear not. It's a thing that the Lord told Abraham even from the beginning. And Jesus, you know, used to tell his people, the people around him, his disciples, and many people, the statements such as fear not. I mean, every time there was a situation at hand, the first thing that Jesus would say would be something like, oh, fear not, you know, but believe rather. So we'll look at, you know, this concept of fear and what it could bring and how we can combat it with the knowledge that God is our shield. So we see that introduction right there of how God represented himself to Abraham. Like, rather than being afraid, see me as your shield. So we're going to look at that because that's, you know, that's the key to combating fear. Now, sometimes we have to remember that fear can also actually open us up to torment. You know, and be, you know, we just be, I mean, unnecessarily and unduly afraid of everything. In some people's cases, it gets so bad that they are afraid, you know, so paranoid, afraid of everything. And there's even folks that, you know, they're always wondering whether somebody is looking at them, somebody is doing something to them, you know, somebody is watching them or trying to do. I mean, people just, sometimes you just see this torment. You know, I've been around people, science has a name for it, but they go, they are like, you know, everywhere they go, they're thinking that some evil is going to happen. Somebody is trying to do something to them. Well, I call it torment because that's what the Bible calls it. The Bible says fear has torment. And when we allow it to come into our lives, it is a dangerous thing that the devil can use. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. You know, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. When you are perfect in your love between you and the Lord, that'll cast out fear, because you'll see him as your shield. Job said, you know, I mean, you all know the story of Job, all the things that happened to him. But sometimes we forget that Job was afraid that these things were going to happen to him. In fact, in Job chapter 3 and verse 25, we read that Job said, "That thing which I had greatly feared all along has now happened unto me." You know, so he was always afraid that some evil was going to befall him. He was afraid that some evil would befall his children. He was afraid. And that fear can be sometimes subtle, but once it gets in there, it can become a stronghold if we are not careful. People through fear become so negative about everything, you know. But that's not a state of mind that the Lord wants us to be in. He wants us to be bold, you know. And it's not for us to try not to be afraid. It's for you to be bold, you know, because the righteous, we are told, are bold as a lion. You know, sometimes the wicked are fleeing when nobody is even pursuing them. They're hiding. Somebody is looking at me. Somebody is passing by the door. This and this and this. What is all that about? Proverbs 28 verse 1 will tell you, you know, that the wicked in their minds, they are always thinking that somebody or something is pursuing them or something is going to happen to them. And that becomes a stronghold. The wicked flee when no man is pursuing them. But the righteous, they are bold as a lion. Now, when God was even talking to the children of Israel, he gave them instructions not to be afraid, even when they are surrounded with armies. Yours may not be armies. It may just be situations. Whatever situation that you are in. In the book of Deuteronomy 20, we see God was addressing the children of Israel. Moses was told to speak to them that even when they go out against their enemies, they must not be afraid. You know? And so that means that the same thing for us today. Whenever or whatever we face, we must not be afraid. Let me read this to you in Deuteronomy 20. "When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies," think of it this way. You know, it could be sickness, it could be disease. Yeah, you see horses and chariots and people more than thou and all the situations that are overwhelming that you may face. He said, "Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee." He brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the reason God was always reminding them was because people soon forget the Lord by a high hand. He brought them out of the land of Egypt, but they soon forget, you know. And he said, "Look, don't be afraid. Let not your hearts faint." Let's read it further. "Shall come to pass that when you come unto the battle, the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you." Now, we always say to them, he said, "Fear not." You know, so, like I said, yours may not be a battle of swords or guns and stuff. It may be a battle of the mind. The devil brings something to you to be afraid of. There are many things. Deadly diseases. A diagnosis of, you know, horrible ill health. Say, "Well, you're not going to make it." And the devil would take advantage of that and try to bring fear to the hearts of the people. So when God was dealing with the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, he had to instruct them in many things to not be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage, he would tell them. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Fear not. Don't be afraid of these situations. You know, he said, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee and he will not forsake thee. And again, in verse 8, he says the same thing. Deuteronomy 31 verses 6 and 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Now, whatever the situation is that's ahead of you, you may not know what lies ahead. You know, there may be, you know, forebodings of evil and different things ahead. But nonetheless, the Lord will go with you. Don't be afraid, he said. Because once fear sets in, it can really cause all kinds of problems. The mind becomes unstable and it can be a stronghold. And in this lesson, we want to see how to deal with those things. And first of all, you know that the Lord is with you and the Lord will save you because he has given you that promise. The psalmist, he said, look, in Psalm 23 and 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, you may even be the one all alone in a situation. Can you let confidence rise in your heart that the Lord will bring you through it? David, he knew that. He knew that it's only a matter of time, but he's going to get to the other side. That's why he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Glory to God. Because evil can really create, fear can really let evil set in. In Psalms 46, he talked about his confidence that he had in the Lord. He said, is our refuge and strength. Now, these are the ways that you combat fear. Very present help. I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. Very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains cry in the midst of the sea and all these things roar and so on. So what? Not be afraid. Settle it in your heart that you will not be afraid. But there are times that you will be afraid. In those times, or you might be afraid. Let me not say you will. There are times that you might be afraid. But in those times, what should you do? This is why the Lord always say, fear not. What should you do in those times? Well, here's what he said in Psalm 56. What time I am afraid? This is Psalm 56 verse 3. What should you do? I will trust in the Lord. In God will I praise his word. And in God I put my trust and I will not fear what flesh can do to me. There are times when, naturally speaking, you may be afraid. You look on the things around you. You look at the circumstances. It may bring fear. But, the scriptures here exhort us to not be afraid. You know, fearing everything around you, fearing the circumstances, fearing the diagnosis, fearing all of these things will create even more problems. You hinder the ability for you to trust. Fear also hinders faith. I mean, Jesus gave an example. You know, we saw it in the story of in Mark chapter 4 when they were, you know, trying to get them to enter the boat and say, we're going to the other side. And when the tempest arose, they were afraid. The disciples were. They panicked. They ran to the Lord. And we notice how the Lord rebuked them. You know, why is it that you are afraid? How come you have no faith? So we see that fear will create an atmosphere of unbelief. When fear sets in, it creates unbelief. And Jesus had to rebuke them. Rebuke the storm, but also rebuke the people. You know, why are you so fearful? He said. You can read that in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Why are you so fearful? How come is it that you have no faith? So Jesus expected them to have faith, but instead fear gripped their hearts because they thought that they were going to perish. But how in the world are you going to perish when Jesus is in the boat? And the Lord is always in the boat with you. So don't be afraid. Rather, be confident. He said, in this thing will I be confident. Though war should rise up against me. Psalm 27. What shall I fear? What shall I be afraid? Well, that should be our declaration. You know, don't be afraid of anything. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies, the wicked, and my foes, they came up to eat up my flesh, and stomped and fell. He said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Though I should receive diagnosis of fatal disease or whatever, I will not fear. Hallelujah. Once you allow that fear to set in, it's a really, really, really dangerous thing. You know, and many scriptures tell us that God has not given us over to fear. Romans chapter 8, for instance, verse 15. You know, we should not allow fear to rule our lives. You know, he says here that ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, it's a bondage. It's a stronghold, is what he's saying. Bondage is a stronghold. You're bound by chains. You can't break through. That's a stronghold. So, you know, fear is a stronghold, the scripture says. You have received the spirit of adoption. You know, that God is my father. God is my shield. It's my exceeding great reward. He's with me. You know, let the scriptures, use the scriptures to create confidence. Use praising the Lord, create confidence. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, you know, talks about this fear also when we, you know, let it grip our minds. It can be a terrible thing. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me remind you of the stories of some people whose fear actually caused them to disinherit themselves from the promise of the Lord, because it resulted in unbelief. The story of the children of Israel in Numbers 13 and 14, which we have told many times, but it goes along with this lesson, was fear. You know, because they said, well, the giants are in the land, and we are like little in our own sight, compared to them. The land will devour us up. We can't go up against these people. They were afraid. You know, and the moment they were afraid, unbelief started to set in. They forgot that God had promised them, you know, the victory and that they were going to take the land. Did God not know there were giants there? God already knew those things. But the fear that came upon their hearts, is, you know, settled to them, they became so afraid that they would no longer even believe the word of the Lord. And it didn't end well for many of them. You know, God was so angry with them, he disinherited them of that promise. And he said, well, you're not going to get in there because you did not sanctify my word. You know, but there were a couple of people that said, that was Joshua and Caleb, said, fear them not. Don't worry about it. The Lord is with us, you know. In fact, these people, he said, if the Lord delight with us, the land which we pass through, we know and search, it's an exceeding good land. The Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. Numbers 14, you know, and verse 8. And he will give it to us. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel you not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. You know, fear, you know, Caleb and Joshua, they recognized that fear was the thing that was going to keep the people out. They told them, fear ye not the people of the land. They are bread for us. Now, these are people who are confident because they know the Lord is with them. He said, look, their defense even is departed from them. 10 people saw it one way, 2 people saw it a different way. They were looking at the same thing. I mean, they all went there to search out the land. Some brought an evil report. In fact, the majority brought an evil report, and only 2 brought a good report. The 2 that brought a good report saw beyond the natural circumstances of, you know, these people are strong, they have a strong army, they have a this and that, the giants, we can't take them. They saw beyond that. Confident in the promise of the Lord. The ones that were afraid, they forgot the word of the Lord completely. You know, and they were just looking at their circumstances. I can't go up against these people. You know, it's like, I can't walk on water. Forgot the fact that Jesus said, come. Once Jesus said, come, you're going to walk on the water because he said, come. But the moment you start looking around, say, the winds are boisterous. I can't walk on water. And you start to sink. And so, you know, fear is a dangerous thing. The devil gets a hold of it. And he will use it, you know, to torment even believers once you allow fear. Parents are usually sometimes afraid that evil will happen. Well, kids, Job was afraid evil will happen to his kids, and it did happen. And they will get so afraid, we don't understand that the Lord knows the situation. God knows the situation. Anxiety. There's a normal level of anxiety that's in all human beings. Yeah, it's normal. We're wired like that. But you must control that. You know, if you let that, ferment into fear and everything, you weaken your defense systems. And the devil, he knows how to use those, actually. And when he does, and sees that there is an opening there, he will, you know, he will get in there. He will bring other 7 even more wicked spirits to inhabit the place and create havoc for that life. And so we must not allow that to happen. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. He knows that you're going to be anxious at times. That's why he says, don't be anxious. The Lord knows that at times we might be afraid. That's why I say, don't be afraid. He knows at times, you know, we might fear. That. So therefore he says, fear not. You know, but you got to, you know, dig into the word of God in order for you to see the promises that the Lord has already given you, you know, that he's with you. Some people define fear, if you take it as an acronym, as a fake or false evidence appearing real. You know, in other words, the devil, Jesus said he's a father of lies. So it takes something that's false and he tries to present it as real. And so when you look at your body, the sickness, the illness, the diagnosis, and so forth, you know, but we've heard even on this platform just a few days ago, the power of the Lord to turn back the hand of the enemy. Whereas they stood right there and say, we will not be afraid. That's right. You know, once you are afraid, once you lose the fight in your mind, you're defeated. And that's what the devil, he tries to use that. And the Lord will encourage us from place, many places, will tell us, you know, don't be afraid. You know, Isaiah 41 verses 10 to 13, he told them, don't be afraid. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. On and on and on and on. Because he knows that that fear can be a stronghold. Well, Isaiah, he finally got the message. He got the message and he said, look, and he made this thing that I call this statement. I call it declaration of his faith. Because the Lord had told him that he will help him. He said, I will help you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. This and that. The Lord told him all those things. And he latched onto it. See, when the Lord tells you something, you use it. You latch onto what the Lord is telling you. And you use it to encourage yourself. He said, look, all that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. It shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee, they shall perish. You will even look for them and you will not find them. Even them that contend with you, they will be a thing as nothing. You know, said the Lord will hold your right hand and he will say, fear not, I will help thee. And he told him over and over again. Well, so many powerful, encouraging statements, you know, in verses 10 to 13 of Isaiah 41. And Isaiah, he allowed that to sink in. Well, so he made a declaration in Isaiah 50 and verse 7. I say, this is the antidote to the thing. You state your confidence in the Lord based on what he already told you. For the Lord God will help me. The Lord already told him, I will help you. He's not just saying the Lord will help me, whereas the Lord didn't tell him so. The Lord already told him, you know, 9 or 10 chapters before that. Now says, well, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, will I not be confounded? That's exactly what God told him. Don't be confounded. Don't be afraid of them. You know, but what? Because I know the Lord is with me. Therefore, I set my face like a flint. Yeah, some people call it poker face. You know, they are not even going to let the enemy see that, you know, you are troubled. I call it your game face. You put it on, you know, and say, I know that I will not be ashamed. Powerful, powerful scripture. And at one time, a couple of years ago or so, I gave people this verse as a memory verse, something that you should have in your toolbox, ready to speak it every day. You know, when situation arises that will cause your heart to fear, well, speak this scripture out. You know, praise the Lord, and it will help you. In Isaiah 51, we read this the other day. The Lord challenges us. Why are you afraid of the so-called fury of the oppressor? Why are you afraid of the lymphoma? Why are you afraid of the cancer? Why are you afraid of the leukemia? Why are you afraid, you know, of the lupus? Why are you afraid of the diabetes, of the stroke, of the high blood pressure, and all of these things? Why are you afraid of these things? And forget I, the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord challenged them. Isaiah 51, verses 11 to 12. And you are every day constantly afraid of the fury of the oppressor as if it's going to be your last day. Well, see, the oppressor is ready to devour. And where, he said, is the fury of the oppressor? You know, the Lord has disarmed him already. Praise the Lord. And so God wants us to be strong and be bold in the confidence of the Lord. Not your confidence. What time I am afraid, what do? Praise him in his word. Use his word. Encourage yourself. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Don't allow that stronghold of fear to even get a head start. Jesus, one time he said, be not afraid, only believe. You know, Jesus always had to get rid of the fear in order to, you know, get people to believe. You can read that in Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. You know, because the story was that there was somebody, you know, a ruler of the synagogue, we are told. You know, now Jesus had just, he had just encountered this woman that touched his clothes and was healed and all that stuff. And while he was yet speaking to the woman, saying, thy faith has made thee whole, don't be afraid, go in peace. As he was speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain that said, thy daughter is there. Remember, Jesus was going to that man's house. You know, that was where he was going, you know. When he was passed over to the other side, there was one of the rulers, Jairus by name, came and fell at his feet. You can read that in verses 21, 22. I besought him greatly, saying, Master, please, my little daughter is at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and he shall live. Jesus said, cool. And so Jesus was going with him. I mean, if you ask Jesus to come and lay hands, he will come. If you ask Jesus to speak the word only, he will speak the word only. Whatever your level of faith, this man said, come. Another man said, well, you don't need to come. Just speak the word. Either way, Jesus will oblige. So he was going with this man. And the issue of the blood thing happened. And then go back to the story. And as soon as he finished telling the woman, don't be afraid, you are healed, go in peace. Some people came. Listen to this. It's an interesting story. Some people came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master anymore? It's over. You know. So, leave the master alone. Your daughter is already dead. Because these people didn't think. In fact, they didn't know that it was possible that the young girl can be brought back to life. So death in their mind was final. That's it. You know, somebody died, that's final. I mean, just final, you know. I mean, I was in one place one time. I was so shocked. I went to this place for some event. So it was years ago. Seeing what happened, you know, somewhere. And I went with a friend of mine. We went to preach in this place. And the first day, it was a foreign country. It was in Tanzania. I think one day into the missions, we heard the news that somebody's daughter died, who was one of the pastors that organized that event for us, you know. So I said to my friend who was with me, Pastor Roland, I said, oh, great. This is an opportunity for us to see God raise the dead. Isn't that why we are here? You know, we called it, Miracle Rally and stuff like that. So I said, well, Let's go get some miracle. So we went. Before we got there, the girl was already buried. I'm like, are you kidding? And they said, no. Don't even say anything. You know, that's not it. We don't do that. I'm like, how can you, did you even give a chance for this girl to be prayed for? And they met us in the compound and said, don't do it. Don't go there and tell them anything. And I was thinking, what kind of thing is this? And later somebody was telling me that that's their culture, because these people came from a Muslim background or something. I mean, they were all Muslims there in Dar es Salaam. They've now believed the gospel, but they are still practicing all these things. You know, as soon as somebody died, they just need to bury the person right away and say it's final. And they told us it's final. You can't do anything. So we tried to speak. They shut us down. I looked at my friend. I said, well, Bible says Jesus could not even do any miracles there because of their unbelief. You know, because, and I say this to say that people often think that even death is final. But as far as Jesus is concerned, there is nothing final except his word. Hallelujah. There was a story in Mark 11. John 11, rather, when Lazarus was sick and about to die. They had sent to Jesus. Jesus said, well, this sickness is not unto death. As far as he's concerned, it's not unto death. Even if the man died, he already said it's not unto death, which means it must be reversed. So he said, well, Jesus is not unto death, but, you know, not that you might believe. So they didn't know what he was talking about. So he stayed a few more days to make sure the man actually died. And then when the man died, he said, our friend Lazarus is dead. Well, sleepeth at first, he said. Let's go to him. They said, well, if he sleeps, he'll be fine. But they thought he was just sleeping. So Jesus said, well, he's dead. But let's go unto him. And I'm glad that for your sakes I was not there to the intent that you may believe. In the meantime, they don't know what he's talking about. If he's dead, what are you going to do? He's already dead. You know, so everybody thinks that death is final. So by the time he gets there, see, because of the long journey and so forth, he waited a couple of days and then took them another couple of days to get back there and so on. By the time they got there, he's been dead and buried 4 days. Already there in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus wanting to show his disciples that the Son of Man, as he said, has power even over the grave. Praise the Lord. You know, so grave, death, cancer, leukemia, lupus, none of these things, you know, are final. Only the word of God is final. God, speak that word, reverse it. Don't let fear set in. Fear set into their hearts. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said, well, I told you, if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. So, the antidote is to believe. But you can't believe where you allow fear to roam rampant. You know, every situation you're afraid. You don't hear from your son or your daughter for a minute. An hour or a day, then you're afraid, you know, that something evil has happened to them. Well, the devil will take advantage of that. Don't allow that. It's a stronghold, you know. Somebody traveled and they're supposed to call and they didn't call. Then fear sets in. And your mind starts to wonder about all kinds of things, you know. That's the time. Now the Holy Spirit will say to you, if you listen, why is it that you are so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? The Holy Spirit will say that to you in those moments. But will you listen? Because his voice is kind of silent. You'll be drowned by all the craziness and all the anxiety and the yelling and screaming in your head. You know, if you don't calm down, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why is it that you are so fearful? How come is it that you have no faith? Did you pray about that situation even before it began? Before they set on that journey, did you pray with them that the Lord will see them there? Well, maybe if you didn't pray, then you can't panic. But if you prayed, why are you then panicking? Why are you then afraid? You know, some people say, why worry when you have prayed? You know, Well, actually, that's the way I say it. Some people say, why worry when you can pray? And why pray when you can worry? Well, I say, why worry and be fearful when you have already prayed? Did you not believe that God heard that prayer? I mean, this is the thing. We pray about things and then we panic over the same thing that you're praying about. Does it mean God didn't hear you? You don't even believe he heard you? 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, this is the confidence that we have. And when we ask anything according to his will, is it his will that you should travel and be saved and that no evil should befall you? Is it his will that he will protect your children? I'm going to take a whole lesson, maybe tomorrow, I don't know, to give us promises over our children. Because this thing of parents, the stronghold, I'm always afraid that some evil will happen. Job was, and it did happen. And so, you know, did you believe that God heard you when you prayed and you were praying according to his will? And he said, if he hears us, then we know that we receive those petitions. What, do you know that you receive the petitions? Or do you allow this and that? There may be people on here that don't have children yet. Maybe you are not even married. Maybe that doesn't apply to you. But there may be something else that you are afraid of. It may not be over your children. Maybe over even yourself. Or maybe over any situation. It's the same thing. Same principles. All around. We allow fear of the unknown. You've heard a rumbling that they're laying people off. They're doing your job. And the devil would tell you, you're next. You are next, you know, because they are laying people off. Well, maybe you're next, maybe you're not. But, you know, fearing that you are next is not going to make you not to be next. You might actually make you to be next. Why don't you have confidence in the Lord? That the Lord foresaw that situation even before it happened. And the Lord already knows what to do about it. If the Lord allows it, you know, then he already knows why he allowed it. That's the way I think of it. I'm not worried about it. Praise the Lord. And you can survive a lot of layoffs, a lot of reduction in workforces. Year and year and year again. Well, there's also another way that you do that. But even the fear of the unknown will be a torment. You know, one way of, you know, making sure that you're not a victim of those things is trust the Lord and develop yourself. You know, taught that in our wisdom and knowledge series. Develop yourself, position yourself, you know, to have value. But even then, you know, trust the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding only. Trust the Lord and don't allow fear. In fact, one time Jesus said, look, those of you that are always anxious about everything, can you by this anxiety and this worrying and all these things that you do, can you even add one little thing to your size or make one hair black or white? Can you do it? If you can't do that which is least, why are you worrying about these things? But, you know, the natural mind is like that. We worry about everything. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? All these things. Jesus said, these are the things that people that don't know God are worried about every day. Ye shall not be like them. Your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the anxiety. Anxiety over, will I lose my job? Anxiety over, you know, will this medication work? Anxiety over whatever it is, you know. Look, worry about it. Put it in God's hands. The Lord will do beautiful things. He always does. But he needs you to walk with him. Number one, get rid of that fear. Get rid of the anxiety. Replace it with boldness. Hallelujah. You know, some people, because of fear, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 tells us, they are in bondage. You know, we've seen how fear has torment and brings us into bondage. Here's another scripture that says, you know, fear of death, you know, makes people to be in bondage all their lives, you know. He says, look, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear as this torment. In this case, it was fear of death. Now, in that case, maybe fear of sickness or fear of this or fear of that. Bondage. You know? So, Jesus, you know, he had delivered us from those things. Did you know that, you know, this kind of morbid fear is a terrible thing? In the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8, it didn't end well for those people that all their life were subject to this, you know, morbid fear and would not take on God's deliverance. He said, the fearful and the abominable, they ended up, you know, in the lake of fire. You say, wow. Well, yeah. You know, so because the devil will put that fear in the people, fear to the point where people even lose confidence in God's integrity. That's right. You know, yeah. And so, and all these things, and eventually they end up, you know, with the devil. In Revelation 21 and 8, the fearful and the abominable and all the evil people end up in the same place. So you can see how bad this fear can be to put people into that, you know, at the end, put them into that place. A terrible situation. They are classified with murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and so forth. You know, and even liars. I know that. Well, lying is what the devil does. Taking, you know, the fear of something, false evidence, presenting it as something that is real, causing you to be afraid. You know, this is what the devil does and tries to use. And, but I want to tell you what you need to, how you need to respond to the things that the devil tries to bring. You know, the fear and all these things that he tries to bring. I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you some reasons why you should no longer be afraid of the things that the devil will try to bring. You know, the reasons that show us that, you know, we will have been, God has given us the victory over that. Now, the book of Lamentation says that God is always near, and he even draws near to you when you call upon him, when you are in trouble, and he will tell you, fear not. He says that in Lamentation 3 and 57. You know, he said, well, let me read it from 55. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. In fact, when you are in your lowest state, when you are in that depressed state, whatever it is, you call upon the Lord. You see? And he said, thou hast heard my voice. And the Lord, he said, hide not thy ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee, and thou says, fear not. See, that's the thing that God's going to say to you. If you listen, the Holy Spirit will tell you that. You know, when you are in that situation that would make you afraid, that's what the Holy Spirit will say to you. He will tell you, fear not. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord has given us the victory, you know, over the devil. We're told in many places, you know, that the devil, the Lord, you know, this one we just read a few minutes ago, the Lord has destroyed his works, he had defeated him, and so on and so forth. You know, and the devil will try to make you think otherwise. He doesn't want you to know the what God has, the victory that God has given you. So, fear is a thing that he will use. John 10 and 10 says he will use that fear as an opportunity to gain an advantage over you, to steal your joy, kill your dreams, even kill you physically, destroy your life. He can do that. John 10 and 10. But Jesus said, I've come that he might give you life. You know, I'm going to drop here a 5 things. I've taught this lesson before, but I'm just going to summarize them here. 5 things. Each one of them, we make it easy for you. They all start with the letter D, just like that D for the devil, right? So 5 things. It should give you confidence and give you victory over fear and anxiety that the devil tries to bring. Number one, I said the devil or Satan has been disgraced. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you some quick scriptures over that. I may develop this concept later on. I've taught on this before when I taught the subject of your adversary and your advocate. Well, Satan is your adversary, you know, according to the book of John, chapter 12, you know, verses 31 to 32. The devil, you know, the Lord has already put him to shame. Hallelujah. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And you cast somebody out, that's disgrace. You know, as Jesus said that. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. The devil has been disgraced. Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. The devil has definitely... So rather than being afraid of someone that's been disgraced, why should you be? Build up your confidence in the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, you know, we're told that the Lord has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. He didn't do it in a corner. Did it openly. Hallelujah. Devil, he had been disgraced. The Lord made an open show of their defeat. He didn't do it in a corner. He made it open. Graves were open. Different things happened when he died. Done openly. Triumphed over them in it. Hallelujah. Therefore, be confident. Don't let fear, because the devil thinks it's this and that. No, he's already been disgraced. And he's already, we'll find some other things that he said as well. He has already also been dethroned. Remember, I said I'll give you 5 D's. You know, that's has happened to the devil. He's been dethroned. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know, he's the one that said, I will ascend to heaven. I will set up my throne like the Most High. The Lord said, no, cast you down to hell. And Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. Done. He's falling. You know, Isaiah chapter 14, that was Luke 18 and 10 and 18. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15 reveals, you know, how the Lord responded to Lucifer's arrogance. You know, that's right. Wherein he wanted to do this and that, and the Lord said, no, you know. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Cut down to the earth, because you said, I will ascend to heaven. We exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm sitting in command of the congregation, sides of the north, do all of these things. I say, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's right. And Jesus said it. I saw him fall down. So it's done already. Praise the Lord. And when the devil brings these things, remind him of these things as well. In the book of Ezekiel, also chapter 28. You see the things that the Lord revealed about what's been done to the devil. Praise the Lord. He said, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. I was talking about, you know, this thing, this anointed cherub. Read it from Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee up, and thou was upon the holy mountain of God, and you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that I was created until iniquity was found in thee. The same iniquity that said, I'll be like the Most High, you know, and so forth. Well, but the Lord said, look, I will cast thee out. Therefore will I cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God. Now we destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Well, he did, because the Lord said, I saw him fall like lightning. You know, Ezekiel and Isaiah, they were talking about what God's going to do. Jesus said, I already saw it happen. Praise God. You know, so he was not only disgraced, he was also dethroned. You can read it that in Matthew 28 and 18 also, Jesus said, look, all power in heaven and earth is now given to me. Remember one time the devil said to Jesus, all these things are mine. You know, bow down and give them to you. Well, Jesus says now in Matthew 28, all this power is now mine. He had claimed it, reclaimed it back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he has no more, the devil has no more places, you know, and so forth, you know, to walk among the stones of fire anymore. In Revelation 12, we read in verses 9 to 10, you know, the defeat of the devil, you know, that the Lord has already shown. Praise the Lord. So this should give you confidence against fear and anxiety. The devil is the instrument, I mean, the architect of fear and anxiety, but, you know, he doesn't really have any power unless you give him power through fear and anxiety. You know, that great dragon, we're told, was cast out. That old serpent, he was already cast out. Devil, we deceived the whole world, was cast out. Say, you know, their place was found no more in heaven, we're told. Hallelujah. So he was used to be in heavenly places, being cast out. Hallelujah. So that's the story about the devil. Don't let the devil try to tell you anything. Number three, the devil has been disarmed. That's right. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 18, Jesus revealed himself to John on the Isle of Patmos and told him this remarkable thing. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And now I have the keys of hell and death. How did he get it? Well, Ephesians 4 tells us that he went, you know, and led captivity captive. Whooped the devil. Got the keys from him. Glory to God. He has been disarmed. Ephesians 4 verse 8 tells you that. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Ephesians 4 and 8, and Luke 10 and 19. The devil has been disarmed. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That means he's been disarmed. Remember Jesus said, how do you deal with a strong man? You disarm him. You are stronger, you go there, you bind him, and you disarm him. You spoil his goods, and the armor in which he trusted, you disarm him. Jesus said, he is disarmed already. Number four, the devil has been defeated. Don't let him put any lies on you. Revelation 12, verses 7 to 11. Read all of it. You see that now is come salvation. The devil has been cast out. He has been defeated. Victory belongs to the Lord and to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's been defeated. You know, so. But he doesn't want you to know that. And so he will try to bring things, you know, all the instruments of the devil, sickness, diagnosis, all these things, fear, you know, burdens that he tried to lay upon you. He has been disarmed. He doesn't have the power. So don't let him put the fear on you. You know, push back by the word of God. Anytime the devil tries to tell you this, you know, well, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and he prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. He prevailed not. Remember, he was defeated. He did not prevail. Praise the Lord. So, you remind the devil of that. You know, quote the scriptures back to him. You know, last He has been destroyed. We just read that in Hebrews 2 and 14. It said the Lord had destroyed him. He destroyed the devil. He destroyed him. He said, even in John, 1 John 3:8, he said, this is the reason why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And in, and on the cross, in John chapter 19 and verse 30, you know, Jesus said, it is finished. Praise God. So let me summarize that for you. Your adversary, the devil, that brings fear and anxiety to your mind, has been disgraced. He has been dethroned. He has been disarmed. He has been defeated, and he has been destroyed. You know, so let him not try to use any false evidence, make them appear real to you anymore. Finished. You have the victory over him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to leave that today's lesson there. And there's much more that can be said on fear and anxiety. But, you know, I think you get the, you get a picture. And any time that you are afraid, do like David did. Go back to the word of God. And even go back to prayer. Holy Spirit just reminded me here, there is a lesson in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 23. When they threatened the apostles not to speak in the name of the Lord, and they beat them up and everything, and they threatened them, they went back to their own company because they were afraid of the threatenings of the people. And they prayed and said, Lord, behold, now there are threatenings. They were afraid, you know. But the Holy Spirit came and filled them again. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 of Acts. In chapter 4, in response to their being afraid and going back to the Lord and crying to the Lord, the Holy Spirit came and filled them anew again. So that's another lesson for us. You can always go back and ask for a refilling of the Holy Spirit recharging when you are afraid of whatever it is. And the devil tries to bring against you anxiety, you know, the anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 and 6. Be anxious for nothing. You know, anxiety, when it sets in there, it's dangerous. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, glory to God, by your understanding, keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. God will give you peace instead of the fear and the anxiety if you go back to him. What time I'm afraid, I will praise him in his word. What time I'm afraid, I will speak the name of the Lord and his word and encourage my soul. What time I'm afraid, I will pray for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. These are all the things that we see in the Scripture. And what time I'm afraid, I will remind myself and the devil that he has been disgraced, he has been dethroned, has been disarmed, has been defeated, and he has been destroyed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And gain your confidence back in Jesus' name. Let me pray over the room, and I'm going to leave it there for today. The stronghold of fear and anxiety should have no place anymore in our lives. Don't give room to it. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the tools of the devil, such as fear and anxiety. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of exhortation we are presented today, encouraging us and admonishing us to get rid of the fear, get rid of the anxiety, but trust in the Lord. Fear not, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Lord, you are our reward, you are our shield, you are our shelter, you are our fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We run into it, we are saved. You are our rock and our buckler. Hallelujah. And you are our defense. A strong wall the Lord is around his people. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people, even from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 125, and those that trust in him shall not be moved. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, We give you the grace, the praise and the glory. We thank you because you reveal to us that devil has been disgraced, dethroned, disarmed, defeated, and destroyed. And so we will not allow him to play with our minds anymore. We'll be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. In the name of Jesus, we cast out fear by the word of God. Fear shall not have dominion over us. Anxiety shall not have dominion over us. We replace it with boldness and confidence that the Lord is with us and is our shield and our buckler. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. My people shall never be ashamed, the Lord said. And therefore we declare that the Lord God will help me always. You know, therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed and I will not be afraid. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because the Lord is always with me. At my right hand, and I shall not be ashamed. I've said the Lord always before me, and I will not be greatly moved. Blessed be the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.